Just one comment in regards to the Bavli that we read. If you want to know the story on the Kisveyad, survey says that Ksavya of Munich and Vatican 122 have the Arichos of the Hilchasa more or less identical. Certainly makes the same point. Ksavyad Vatican 121, I don't know anything about the Kisveyad except for Hamburg, which is probably the oldest of them, and Hamburg, do not have any Vehilchasa whatsoever in this Gemara. It's not a great shock. It is likely it comes from something like Halachas Gedolos. However, Shlomo, I did search the Halachas Gedolos, and all he does is quote, he doesn't quote any part, he doesn't even have a discussion of that. He only talks about one minor point in Keva. I don't remember what it is exactly now, but it's not what we have here. Okay, now, dealing with the Yerushalmi and Avodah Zarah, and I have to say, for those of you who might have gone past the point where I told you you could stop, I had a real Yetzirah, which I haven't had yet the opportunity to fulfill, which is to read till the end of the Gemara, because there's some very interesting looking stuff in the Yerushalmi that we're not going to read about Mikra. The Chamish Mikra Shein LaMechreya are apparently in the Yerushalmi as well. So I just didn't have the chance to go to read through the rest of the Yerushalmi. Some of you are wincing, of course, and saying thank God, because, hello? Because you had enough Yerushalmi to read here. One piece of very helpful advice, and that would be use parallels in the Yerushalmi. There are some serious girsa issues here, and as those of you who have been here before know, that there is a problem with girsos in the Yerushalmi, in that we only have one manuscript. Essentially, there are parts that we have a little more, but there's basically one manuscript which defines what we have at Yerushalmi, and that's it. In this case, I can't read. I did actually Xerox from Zussman's hetek of Ksavya Leiden. Two places. One here, and the other. Where is the other Yerushalmi that you might have looked at? So it made your life a little easier. Survey says, Beitza Perakamets, in the first halacha Beitza. So here, if you're interested in looking at some point, are the two pages. They'll be in my Gemara if you want to look. I'll tell you what I think the relevant information is, but if you want a more first-hand look. And this is a copy of Sridei Yerushalmi, in which at least my Yerushalmi at home quoted incorrectly. Anyway, so let's start with the Mishnah, because I don't think we actually read the Mishnah yet. One other note also, very interesting in terms of the Gemara we read yesterday. I'm not going to tell you everything I know right now about this, but what does Kan Kodem Chazara Kan La'achar Chazara mean? Where's the Chazara? Is that I raised this question yesterday. Is that really a Chazara? What's that? The whole theme of the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yeshua is just evading him. He doesn't want to give him the answer. So he says one thing. So Rabbi Yeshua goes down a different road. Kan kodem chazara kan lacha chazara. I mean, I was bothered by the historical element as well. It should be noted. It should be noted that so it's not explicit in the Mishnah itself. Okay, but keep your eyes out for what is the chazara, what's not the chazara. There happens to be a girsa in two of the four manuscripts. Firstly, I think maybe all the Kisveyad. The first time the Gemara says kan kodem chazara kan lacha chazara. What was missing in the Dafus Vilna in our printing? There were words that you might have expected, which were Umishna lo zazam koma, which is not there. I don't remember if all the Kisveyad have it, but some of them at least have it the first time around. Maybe all of them do. And then on top of that, two of the Kisveyad have a long expansion quoting chunks of the Mishnah and explicitly filling in what the Chazara is. Emmanuel?
Can we assume things like this? It's about in Kulin, right? Where it says Kafka Pandu Kama, right?
Or intentional shortening by a printer or a scribe. Yes,
but
yes.
That would be strange to have it the second time.
It is odd. I don't know, but the truth is, it's hard to, I don't know why it would have been left out the first time. What's more interesting is the Ilan Hosefa, which you'll get if you want to, I think, is the critical edition in its raw form available on Angel? What happened? Is it up there? Anybody know? Or I have to email. I can email it out. Somebody reminds me. I actually lined it up already. So if you want to see in three pages in a Word document, you can see the Kisveyad lined up like I did for the Mishnah Kiddushin. So if someone reminds me, I'll just send it out to this year. Shlomo?
Do any of the manuscripts of the Mishnah have a different Gersa of our Mishnah? Not the Gemara, but I'm saying it would be interesting to see.
So I did not look. This the Avodah Zarah was Professor Rosenthal's dissertation. The library has it. It's in a bound. The dissertation is bound. So you can go check. I did not check. I'd be very. It's an interesting thing to see, but I did not check. Okay. So it's nice when you used to have a mesechta that somebody did, so you can say go check X. All right. So let's start with the Yerushalmi. Who would like to read? I have not. No, come on. You read too often, Goldberg. You read too often too. Okay, Rafi, go ahead.
Starting from the Yerushalmi.
You do your share of reading also. What's that? Okay, well, fine. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Shal Rabbi Yishmael.
Shal Rabbi Yishmael. That's Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Atha. Rabbi Shimon Bar.
No, read the Mishnah first. Let's just read the Mishnah because I don't think we read it. Did we read it in Shir yesterday fully?
Yeah.
What's that? We read it in Rashi. Okay, so let's go on to the Gemara already. We're going to stop Shir at 12 actually because those I can't go, but those who wish to go to the Siyam can go. Where is it? Lamport?
Lamport.
Okay, so then make. Okay, so then I'll maybe go to 12:15. Fine. I'm sorry? Okay, well then I'll... Is anybody planning on going to the CM?
What's the CM?
We did learn for this.
We'll stop at 12.
What is the CM?
Yeah, you're telling me. By the way, you should know, I should tell a very funny story, learning Ha'or V'Harotev. You seem to know about Narish, the people of Narish. There's a whole passage in Ha'or V'Harotev about the people of Narish, the Amoroi making fun of them. So, you know, there's a line, and you talk about a certain person when he's dishonest. You know, count your fingers after you shake his hand. So, I don't know if this is the earliest location, but the Gemara's version actually is, I forget, Rabbi Yochanan or somebody says about the people of Narish, if he kisses you, count your teeth.
I think it's
it could be. And there's a whole series of nasty statements. So, I wonder if that may be the early. I wonder if there's anything earlier or if that's the origin of the expression. So anyway, that's a really interesting Gemara. It's around like Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. Those are the easier parts of that Arva Rota. That's the only easy part. There are a few cities. Yes, there are a few. But no, I don't think Pumadis there was Nahar Pakod. Nahar Pakod was not in that Gemara, I think.
Okay.
So anyway, I wasn't looking at parallels as I was doing Arva Rotev. So that may be the origin of the expression. Okay, so I'm going to stop at 12, and anybody who wants to is going to go to the CM, go to the CM, and that's fine. Okay. Go ahead. Start with the Gemara. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha.
Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha. Rabbi Shimon Bar Nishim Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi.
Okay, so this is the first annoying thing, which is, of course, that nobody bothers to stick a vav in. So, you know, it's almost like reading a random series of words together or names. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha and Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba said b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Okay, so I think mipnei agolim probably shesham. It means what is this addressing?
Why have we not nachrim
l'zasur? What is agolim shesham nishchatem l'shem avodah zarah? Yeah, so in other words, it's really going back. Don't pay any attention to the printed Mishnayos in the Yerushalmi. A, for their girsa, but even more importantly, B, for where they're printed. Yeah. So the Mishnah had said, one second, the Mishnah had said somewhere, it's funny, in the Yerushalmi's girsa, is it not there? Isn't an hour bothering? And Murias, isn't a green space unyaki? Mm-hmm. In the printed edition of Yerushalmi, it's not there, so somebody better check the Kisveyad. But the Bavli, it clearly has it, and the Yerushalmi also clearly has it. Because we're speaking about Shesham, probably Shel Sham, it's of a place. Okay, so the they say that the Agalim in that place are Nishchatam L'Shem Avodah Zarah. They're very religious Goyim who live there. Yeah, Ben, what was the question? Speaking of Unaiki.
Yeah, we're assuming it's a place, meaning what?
It could either be a town or it could be a particular I assume it's a proper noun.
Right. Well, the Jastro said it was some sort of region.
Okay.
Respectfully to the Jastro, because he's powerful and has research capabilities, it seems to me pretty obvious that the name is Nike, which is associated with Athena.
Nike would be victory.
Right, it would be the goddess of victory, but yeah. Specifically it gets attached to Athena because Athena is the goddess of war.
Yes.
So instead of Pallas Athena, you get Athena Nike.
Okay, would you get to the point?
Yeah, so this is clearly, you know, based on Nike. It should be the temple of Athena.
Any place
which would be a very appropriate place for a Vodazara.
Okay, maybe. But it doesn't sound like that. It doesn't sound...
Yushami has a different...
And there's, if it were an idolatrous temple, there wouldn't be a Machlokas. The Yushami doesn't seem to have... In the Mishnah, the printed text doesn't have...
Yushami has Bati Reiki.
Where's in Yushami? Is it not in the Mishnah itself, right?
I mean, yeah, it has a
Mishnah. No, in the Mishnah. Oh, you think that. No, that's three things in the Mishnah. I have no idea what it is. A funny. Hamorias Vagvina Vitiriaki. It's not Gvinas something.
Teriyaki?
I thought it was the.
First of the very rare things to be given the Vav, and that's not Gvinas, it's Vahagvina. So I don't know. There's a word that I don't know what this gear says, but I didn't check the Kisrayat Mishnah. It's very easy to check. It's on reference Rosenthal's dissertation. Yair?
What's stopping us from saying that the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua with regards to the pasuk from Shir Hashirim is not on Dildecha Vedai, but on the inclusion or exclusion of the word Miyayin?
On the
including the word yain or not?
The word
in other words, the Gemara doesn't have vowels.
As in, it would be, would you kitovim dodecha miyain or kitovim dodecha? And then you answer kitovim dodecha. And then you say ena darakein because sharei chaver melam do lav lerech shmanecha tovim, and you have the link between shem.
Yeah, but he said amar leki tovim doda. In other words,
it doesn't have any vowels.
It has double yud. Besides, which he doesn't quote the word. He doesn't quote the yain.
That's the point. He doesn't quote
leaving,
the ayin.
He's leaving out the ayin. He's saying that's not part of the kirsa.
What? It says, Kitovim dodecha miyayin or kitovim dodayach miyayin.
It doesn't say miyayin the second time.
In my printed edition, it does. That's what it says here. But I don't want to deal with the pasuk anyway. Go, and the answer to that question, go check Rosenthal's critical edition. Then you can do away with all questions if you like. Okay. What? He did on the Mishnah. I don't have the Mishnah manuscripts digitized. Shlomo, do you have a question or no?
I mean, I was just saying it's possible, and Ben was trying to say Beit Kibbutz Nike is Temple of Athena.
That's what I said.
Right, so I'm saying it's possible that the reason the Mishnah needs to say, it would seem redundant. Why would it have to say that and Shalom Beit Kibbutz Nike? So maybe it's an irreligious town, and only people there that worship.
The answer is that it's Yagalim of Sham Nishchatam L'Shem Avodizara. Shama
Rabbi Yochanan Umar Yafa Lamdanu.
Okay. So Shama Rabbi Yochanan, what's the next word mean?
Umar.
Yeah. It means V'Amar. That's another reason why Yushami is nasty, because Alephs often do the disappearing act. So Rabbi Yochanan heard this Shmua and said, "Yafa limdanu Rabbi."
Shekein hashochet behema lavoda zara afiu pirsha azer.
Okay, if you shecht a behema for avoda zara, even the pirsha is aser. Why is the pirsha aser? It's not really part of the behema. What's that?
I said yesterday. It just makes it look better.
It makes it look better. So when you take this egel and you're shechting avoda zara, you want the nafach to be there, you want it to be part of the, you want the pirsha to be there, you want it to be part of this behema, therefore the shechita is chal on the pirsha as well. The Bavli has a discussion about this issue on Lamed Aleph and Beis, which some of you will see and some of you won't see. Yeah. Manuel? Yeah, you bring a karbon, you want it to look mechubad. Yeah. Okay, so now, but Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say why. The Yushami doesn't say why. Fine. Rabbi Yochanan,
Ba'i Matzah Ba Tebas, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Tabas Ba'inahi
Pirsha Gufa.
Gufahi. All right, so now the perish what we just gave, I don't think the Yerushalmi holds of. That's the Bavli. What does the Yerushalmi say? Why is the Pirshas... What was Rabbi Yochanan's question?
Here we have another part of the animal, which I'm assuming the tabas...
Not a part of the animal.
Is something...
Its nose.
Is that, I mean, is it referring to like one of the cartilage rings? Or?
No. It means the animal swallowed.
It's a ring.
Oh.
And it's now in the Pirsha. When a person swallows something they shouldn't swallow, what the physicians tell you is to watch the stools until you see that it passed.
Right.
So if a cow swallowed a nice diamond ring, and now it's in the Pirsha, and there your evil friend says, pulls out his knife and slaughters it, Lavo Dezara, thinking he's going to Aser it. Right? So the question is, does it become Aser or not? That's what we call Tamos Nafshi and Plishtim, except for it might only be Tamos Nafshi and not Plishtim if the ring is Mutter. With the Maisa, you can. Yes. By Shech Yor Behem Lavo Dezara. And they kill me, and your animal's usher. It's dead too, but that's besides the point. I think it's because it's a mice, actually. It's not because of kinyan. Even if I have explicit das not to make a kinyan, it doesn't matter. So anyway,
even if you're a mazik, doesn't it go into your shus either way?
No, you're not konet. You may be mischai. I would say no. If I'm mazik, if I go and I take a hammer and I smash your house down, I'm not konet anything. I'm mischai even a lot in the zikin, but I'm not konet anything. I don't want to get into the question of by shor whether or not, what we say that the may. Nevela is lamazik l'nizik. For the moment, the normal case, if I go over and I smash your things, I'm not kona anything. It's only a question of what nezik I'm chayim. Emmanuel, you had a question or no? Emmanuel, you had a question before? No. Okay. So notice what the answer he gives is, tabas be'enahi pirsha gufahi, which means that there was actually something more going on. In other words, it's not that the parish is a totally separate entity. The parish is fundamentally part of the animal. So then the question is, why is a kohen allowed to eat the parish of the keva of in other words, the keva is part of the animal. Why then is a kohen allowed to eat the keva of the ola? What's that? Yeah, and therefore?
I don't know. If he wanted to, could he eat the hose?
So the posture is that's probably what the Yerushalmi is saying, which is a little bit different. I think it's a little bit different than the Bavli. In that the Isser and the Ola is really, it's not that an Ola is Aser Bahana per se. It's that you mechuyif to burn the large majority of the carbon Ola on the Mizbeach. And therefore, anything you mechuyev to burn on the mizbeach, memela is aser bana. It's koche kadashin. It's neser meila. It's aser bana lahedyot. Okay, but what if you have something that's not supposed to be burned on the mizbeach? So, for example, if you have a very strange kohen who likes to eat leather, and he has the or of the ola, which the Torah says the or goes to the kohanim. If the kohen wishes to sit down and eat that or, the kohen is permitted to do so. He might be nifsal for avoda, perhaps being a balmum, of shiamum, or something like that. But nonetheless, I don't know if there is a discussion of those. I think either that in Bechoros. I don't remember if there are any non-physical illnesses that disqualify. I don't remember if there's anything that disqualifies a kohen and then those grounds. I have to look in the Mishnayos in the sixth parak in Bechoros. But bottom line is it's mutter to do so. It's mutter to eat that hide. We would probably say even that l'chuleyama, if you were to take that hide and use it to make gelatin, it should be mutter. Right? Now, that's a davar mutter. It's just normally not eaten. So the pirsha, what's the din of the pirsha? What's the din of the hooves? The rule on the hooves is if they're still attached to the legs, you can burn them on the mizbeach. If they have been detached from the legs, you don't burn them as mizbeach. Same din by Gidon Asha. There's a gemara both in the beginning of Perek Gidon Asha and the Mishnayis. There are Mishnayis in, I think, the the ninth parak of Zvachim that talk about Im Allah Lo Yered, or those things that go on the Mizbeach that once they went up, you burn them anyway, and those things that that even if they went up, you take them down. So the din is that when it comes to certain of these things, the hair, the hooves, if they were brought up, so Lo Yeredu. If they were, if they're part of the animal still, if they're attached, you bring them up. Once they're pulled apart from the animal, then you don't burn them on the Mizbeach. Okay, so but it's not clear whether or not this Yushalmi can actually be reconciled with the way the Bavli interprets. If I don't know if we're going to have a chance to look at the Bavli, this is not really our primary focus. But the Yushalmi has this notion, which is very important, that the Peresh on the one hand is part of the animal, even though not everything, the Keva is part of the animal in a way that not everything that happens to incidentally be found inside the animal is. Why? I would have just said the following, without going to the Bavli's reason. Why distinguish between the Keva and the ring?
Necessarily part of the keva itself.
It's not a question of a ring in the keva. The ring can be in the intestines. It doesn't matter. What's
discrete
the
entity?
Doesn't
what?
Sorry.
It's a discrete entity. It just passes through the animal. It's not interacting with it.
Okay. So I'd start simply by saying that it's not normal. It's not nothing that's a part of the normal cycle of the behemoth. You know, eating grass is part of a cat, and that even though it's an external thing, and the cow's, you know, insides interact with the grass and do X and Y and Z to it, but it's still sort of the grass with some enzymes mixed in. Nonetheless, that's part of the animal on some level because that's normal. That's the way the animal functions. The ring is just this foreign object that happened to enter, and yes, it's going to pass through. No, but nothing's going to interact with it normally, or nothing normal. But you could have some interaction, chemicals and so on. Okay, so that's what the Yerushalmi says. Next.
Okay. Wait, can I ask you a question on that?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that like a ring passing through in the animal's intestines would be like sort of similar on like a theoretical level of just like sort of walking through a church, like the actual, or like Malcolm Abodazara. No, seriously. I don't mean that with any sort of like political connotations, but the fact that you're passing through a place that's Malcolm Abodazara, that's Asura Na, or a church maybe isn't Abodazara, but if you walk through a place of Abodazara, it doesn't render you as Asura Na, you don't become in Asura Na, but it's not something that...
I hope not.
I mean, you're like the comparison on a non-political level. I feel like maybe...
Okay, I mean, but that's effectively the same thing that Aaron Ben were saying, which is what makes it that you're just what that the ring is just passing through. It's that it's not a digestible item. It's not something a cow normally eats. So
I wouldn't say not that it's not digestible. It has no nutritional.
Fine, that makes you happier. Okay.
If you eat corn and you see that in peas,
it's not food.
Part of it's digestible.
Food. Yeah.
So, but not part of the ring is digestible.
But all of it has nutritional effect.
Okay, fine.
What's the difference is what's normal for the animal to eat? Would you maybe bring it back to what the Bavli says and compare it, say that, you know, what the person who's shafting it for, he...
So I'll tell you why not, because again, it's possible, one of the klalim gedolim of learning Yerushalmi that I always insist upon is not trying in any way to force the Bavli into the Yerushalmi. And that doesn't mean that they can't sometimes be saying the same thing, but I do wonder, it sounds from the Yerushalmi that you're dealing more with a conceptual distinction. Now, as the Bavli will say that it's just Nichalei Benapach, the Bavli seems to be saying very clearly that the Pirsh is not really part of the ego, but because he's Nene from it when he shechs Avodazara, his intent, let's say, is to be Makdish that as well, Avodazara. Whereas the Yerushalmi seems to make a much more fundamental conceptual distinction that Pirsha Gufahi, and yet the ring is Lav Gufahi. So, you know, you can interpret, and there may be different ways of trying to formulate that, but I think that it really is a fundamental distinction, and that's different than, I think, what the Bavli is doing. There is another day in the Bavli. I printed the Bavli here, right?
Yeah.
I think the other day in the Bavli, I don't know if it's printed as to what I see. Hold on. Right. So one is the svara, the other is exeris akasur, which is it's interesting why you need the Gemara doesn't ask svara hi kra lamali, maybe because the svara is not so compelling. The exeris akasur is lo yidbach biyadcha umam nacheren, which does raise questions though, because then maybe the ring should have been asur also if it's inside, if it's just passing through the church. Rafi, to borrow your analogy, if it's exeris akasur in avodah zarah, you wonder why. Yeah, here.
That be like of a higher rank than a tabak?
So if you had such a thing, you might very well be treated like... I mean, it depends how we form it. It might be very well treated. That depends on whether it's normal or whether it interacts. And in this case, it didn't interact. You might very well treat it as tabas. Whereas for the Bavli, you would say, Nichale ben Afcha. Now, I don't know what the Bavli would say about the ring. You know, the ring probably doesn't add very much in volume, as opposed to the Pirsha.
Instead of trying to fit the Bavli into your Shami, would you say that it would be legitimate to try to put the Yerushalmi into the Bavli and say that maybe the Bavli is coming from some sort of the same kind of idea of that originally maybe there was this objective difference between the original Sfar was that there's an objective difference and later on they kind of applied it to what
objective so going on. So two comments to you being your question. The answer is no and yes. The answer is no, I never try to put the Yerushalmi into the Bavli, but yes, we have encountered occasional circumstances. Was there something earlier this year? I don't remember. There was something, and we had in Ketzan Mevarchim a very, I thought, a clear-cut example where the Bavli had the Yerushalmi, where I argued in Ketzan Mevarchim that the Bavli there reflects the earliest extant parish of the Yerushalmi. Now I don't necessarily accept, and it's not clear that all the Gaonim did either, the Rif's claim at the end of Erevin that the Chachmei HaBavli had the Yerushalmi as we have it. And that's why the Rif claims we pass like the Bavli. We pass like the Bavli, I think, for other reasons. So that's a debated point, whether or not the Chachmei Bavli really had the Yerushalmi. They clearly have a lot of Torah Seretz Yisrael, but they don't necessarily have the redacted Yerushalmi. Although, at least for the one case that we had last year, I thought they really did. At least that part they had. So it could be, I don't want to say that you can learn from there to everything, but it does mean that sometimes, we know for certainly that there are times that in Bavel they have the traditions of Eretz Yisrael. It's usually in one direction. There is material from Bavel that makes its way to Eretz Yisrael, but far, far less. And except for the really first generation Rabban Shmuel.
I was going to say, like the Yerushalmi does quote
Bavel. I said, but most of that's limited to the first generation, second generation. Rava's the last Amora. Rava is quoted once in the Yerushalmi, and that's basically the latest Amora that's quoted in Eretz Yisrael. The general direction of Torah was from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. You're right. It is more reasonable as a matter of principle to perhaps read the Bavli in light of the Yerushalmi, but I'd like to read them as a general independently, and then see. You know, sometimes they do say the same thing. Sometimes they don't. Okay. So Yerushalmi makes that fundamental distinction: what's called Gufa, what's not called Gufa. Now what happens? Yeah, and again, that's one of those Rechia Bar Abba. I'm just going to read it that way, even though the Aleph is missing. It's all over the place. Also, watch out in the Yerushalmi. The printed Yerushalmi, at least, and this is not, I suspect this is not a function of the printers. It's a function probably of Ksav Yad. Sometimes instead of a Beis, you get two Vavs. Okay?
Like Bar Vava.
Yeah.
That saves space.
Yeah, bar vav aleph, and you really look at that word and you say, what is going on here? Am I seeing double or something? Va is just abba. Because it lost an aleph, and the base turned into two vavs. What?
Does that save space? Is that why they would do that? Like, what?
How they pronounced it.
I'll tell you what complicates it. I don't know. The person to ask is Dr. Steiner. The reason I raise that question is because there was a time at which the distinction between base and vase did not exist. You can see this in...
Flatbush, it still doesn't.
You can see... Ezra, you can punch him out later if you wish.
Okay? That's true.
I know. So there, you see from the Bavli, I don't know if it's a Brisa that says that the Hafrada Bein Advekim in Shema, you have Hakanaf Pesil and Esev Besadacha. Now, for the way we pronounce it, there's no way to possibly run those two together, because one, the end of a word, almost by definition, it's always without... a dagesh, and at the beginning of a word following a consonant is always with a dagesh, so it's always going to be Esev Bisadacha and Hakanaf Pisil. However, there are Sfaradim still who pronounce it Esev. Is that the way? I think with the hard form. In which case, you understand that they never pronounced it as a vase. And if the sound was moving in that direction, a clear way of indicating it might have been two vavs. You have to. Dr. Steiner is a bucky in, you know, sort of the history of the development of these pronunciations, so he might be the person to ask. Okay. Anyway.
Rabbi Chiya bar Abba above the Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Chiya bar Abba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan.
Abba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Bar Yishona hayu omrim im amidim lo b'kevas hanavela lo b'kevas hagayim. Chazru lomar amidim b'kevas hanavela ve'im amidim b'kevas hagayim.
Okay. Now, what is Rabbi Yochanan's reference point? By the way, here just all the kisveyad. As a general, the Vilna Shas here will have Achum, as do in all the places. It always the correct girsa is generally Nachri, but the censors, either the censors or under pressure from the censors, they change it to Akum. Little did they know that the Jews probably still consider the Christians Akum, but okay. It should be Nachri or Goy. Okay, so what is Rabbi Yochanan's reference point? Rabbi Yochanan says, Barishona hayu omrim, em amidin lo bekevas anevel lo kevas anachri, chazulom amidin kevas anevela, ein amidin bekevas anachri right now. We'll talk about the details in the second half a little later. But what is this? What's Chazul Omar? Where, when, what, why? What is Rabbi Yochanan saying? Who's Chazul?
Same thing we saw in the Bavli yesterday.
Does the Bavli tell us what the Chazul is?
In regards to the Mishnah.
What's that?
In regards to the Mishnah.
Okay.
The first.
What Mishnah?
At least what we saw yesterday, it was in regards to the one in Chulin.
Okay, but Rabbi Yochanan. So that's a very, very, very novel interpretation, but the Yerushalmi certainly doesn't assume that. And it doesn't sound like that because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say that Barishona Hayuomrim, that Kevas Nevelam Kevas Nachri is Asura. Chazru Lomar, right? That doesn't appear. Not Mamidin is not discussed in the context of Kevas Nachri or Kevas Oved Kocham in our Mishnah. The only place Mamidim is discussed in our Mishnah in Chulin is with respect to Or Kevas Nevela. Keva it's not used,
right.
And the Mishnah never speaks. The Mishnah never is Chozer on Kevas. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is not. You're right. Rabbi Yochanan is not giving a perush of our Mishnah. Because he doesn't quote it or use it in any way. In other words, none of the cases in our Mishnah are effectively being used by Rabbi Yochanan's Meimar. Now, I also know I'm pretty sure that the focal point of Rabbi Yochanan and the discussion around him is probably not the Mishnah in Chulin. You'll see why a little bit later. When you read further in the Yerushalmi and the Raya that the Yerushalmi attempted to bring. The only question is the Yerushalmi thinking about the Mishnah here? And it's interesting, it doesn't say so. It never sort of invokes this particular Mishnah. You know, Chazru Lomar is also very strange because what should it have said technically? It would have been Chazar Lomar. Right, it's only Rabbi Yeshua who doesn't explicitly back out. So I'll tell you what I'm thinking, although I don't have any proof for this. I don't think that the Chazru Lomar really is a dialogue Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yishmael. There's no evidence to that. And as I mentioned yesterday, it would have been particularly difficult because it would assume that the Mishnah was redacted pretty much very early. And that I find difficult, not impossible, but very. It is certainly not, I'll say it this way, it's not clearly the traditional view. Certainly not the view of the Rama. Certainly not the view of the Rama. Maybe, and even Rosh Hashanah Gaon, it doesn't seem to be the view of. Rabbi Rosh Hashanah Gaon assumes that the first formal redaction of the Mishnah is with Adios in Yavne. That's what it sounds like. Certainly Rosh Hashanah Gaon. In which case, you know, Rabbi Yeshua is there, but I guess it's possible. It's possible. Emmanuel? I think the Chazru Lomar, I don't think, I was, it's very tempting to say it's a parish of the Mishnah in Chulin.
That's the closest thing they could find.
Yes, but the language doesn't sound like it's echoing it. That's the only possibility. It doesn't sound like it. The language and the continuation of the Gemara sounds like they're not, that the reference point is in the Mishnah, is not the Mishnah in Chulin. Emmanuel? We'll see the Yerushalmi in a few lines in a moment. Really? Who's the first Bala Meimar in Chulin? I thought not so. I thought the first ones line up. And in Chulin, one second. In Chulin. And here it's Rabbi Chiya. There it's Rabbi Chia, which is Rabbi Chia Barah, but it's not Rabbi Chia Gadol. Here it's a Sherry, same thing. It's identical.
No, but then.
The second view is not the same names.
Right, no, but here, I'm saying.
I didn't say anything about the two versions of Rabbi Yochanan. I'm not even talking about that yet. I just want to know what the Chazru Lomar is.
I'm just saying that there's two versions of Rabbi Yochanan
in the Bavli, and two versions in Avodah Zarah and Yerushalmi. Okay. How are they not parallel?
The first version in the Bavli
Is there another errant girsai? I see that they correct in line. Do you have a printed text that says something else? Does the? Yeah, in the Bavli, Mishnah Rishona was Amar Ruchim Bar Yochanan Amidim Mekevas Naveilas Amidim Mekevas Shchitas Al Kochavim. That's after Chazara. That's La'acha Chazara. The second statement is La'achar Chazara. You can do both. That is the La'achar Chazara portion in the Yerushalmi. Both opinions are echoed. Both two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan held in the Bavli reflect the two versions that Rabbi Yochanan held, La'achar Chazara in the Yerushalmi. And the first one is the same Bala Meimra even, Rabbi Chiya Barab and Yerushalmi, Rabbi Chiya in the Bavli, but the same person. Okay?
And does this relate? Does Rabbi Yochanan's statement in Yerushalmi relate back to the Hilchasa that we have in the Bavli? In other words, the Hilchasa in the Bavli concluded Aval Ma'abidim Mekevas Nevela Uvekevas Shchitas Ovei Kochavim.
So yes, the language in the Bavli in the Hilchasa is very much like the language of the Yerushalmi.
Right. So
one of the Kisveyad, there's a piece from the Yerushalmi appended at the end of the sugya. I believe this piece, quoting Rabbi Yochanan.
Okay.
So I suspect that the language of the Hilchasa is in fact influenced by the Yerushalmi, whoever is responsible for the language of Hilchasa. Okay. So the first version has it that they changed their mind, Chazru Lomar, only on the Kevas Nemeil and not on the Kevas Nachri. Presumably because why, the Yerushalmi says? Rabbi, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Rabbi Abba bar Zibda, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ba'i.
They were bothered by this. How could Rabbi Yochanan say this?
Zolahotzi. Zolahotzi Medivrei. Is this Rabbi Eliezer?
Yes.
Rabbi Eliezer.
Oh yeah, that's standard. The Alice. That, you know, it's that happens in Yiddish too, right? Laser and loser are Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Lazar. Right? It happens also in the Kisveyad of the Mishnah Yisrael. Standard in the Yerushalmi. Rabbi Eliezer.
Sure. Rabbi Eliezer Omer
Shemach
Shevas Nachri Lavodazara.
So you saw the same thing in the Bavli. The way the Mefarshim explained it here, and I'm not sure if this is correct, but it probably is pshat that they were wondering why anybody should adopt Rabbi Eliezer's position. Okay, you don't have to read it that way. It could just be a statement of explaining it. They were just confirming. Lahotzi mi d'Rabbi Eliezer is what's strange. Which sounds like that's probably why they're frustrated with that way. They want to reject Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, how could you follow Rabbi Eliezer?
It's just kind of ironic that they, when they spell out his full name, they drop the aleph, but when they abbreviate it, it's what
I'm willing to bet you in Safi Leiden it's not abbreviated, but I could be completely wrong. Why not bet when I have no idea what I'm talking about? As long as there's no money involved. Okay, 1 second. Based Dalin, Mamidin.
It's, yeah, you're right. It's not. It just abbreviates as...
Yeah, the Laksavia does not have an abbreviation. Okay, go ahead. So now there's a second version.
Asa Rav Asi, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Arishona hayu omrim ma'amidim b'kevas ha'nevela v'lo b'kevas ha'gai. Chazru lomar ma'amidim b'en kevas nevela b'en kevas ha'gai.
So the second version is the second version of Rabbi Yochanan in the Bavli. Different Bala member though. That really after Chazara they matir everything. So now the Yerushalmi says
Lishan
Masnisa Bar Abba. So the language of the Mishnah would be Messiah to Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Which Mishnah? Go ahead.
Kevas Hanafri Vishan Nevela Asura. Kamishna Rishona. Trefa Shayanka Minha Kishira Kevasa Muteres Kamishna Afrona.
Okay. Here's where some of the problems begin. So firstly, let me make the following suggestion to you. The Yerushalmi does not have a text of the Mishnah that says Kamishna HaRishona, Kamishna HaChrona. That's the Perush of the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi says as follows. It would appear from the language of the Mishnah that Rav Chia Bar Abba is correct. How is Rabbi Chia Bar Abba correct? So really, there are two ways of reading this. What did Rabbi Chia Bar Abba say? What did he say? He quoted Rabbi Yochanan. What did he quote Rabbi Yochanan as saying? How do you know that? How do you know that why is the Mishnah Messiah?
No,
I
don't know. I'm not sure why the Mishnah.
Ah, okay, so there are two possibilities here. One of them is that, which Emmanuel doesn't like, but that's all the Mefarshim, the Yerushalmi, explain, is that Masnisa Misayeya to Rabbi Chia Bar Abba's Chiluk between, even La'achar Chazara, between Kevas Nachri and Kevas Nevela. Now, Emmanuel doesn't like that because he doesn't see how you see it from the Mishnah. And the truth is, it is difficult to see it from the Mishnah. So what's the alternative? What is the Misayeya to Rabbi Chia Bar Abba?
That there was Chazara.
Why did the Mefarshei HaYerushalmi not want to say that?
Because that's true also for...
Correct. It should have been Misayeya Lishan the Masnisa Misayeya L'Rabbi Yochanan. Number one. Number two, there's another reason not to say it that way. Because it doesn't say... It's a very unusual expression. I don't know. I've never seen this elsewhere in the Yerushalmi. I didn't do a computer search.
It should have said what?
It should have said Masnisa Misayeya L'Rabbi Bar Abba. If you were correct, it says Lishan Demas Nisan, which implies something about the language of the Mishnah. And that itself may be what pushes the Mefarshei Yerushalmi to basically import Shmuel from the Bavli to explain. It's the question that the Gemara, the Stam of the Gemara presents, that Kevas Nachri and Kevas Shchut and Kevas Nevela are Hainuhach, why repeat the thing twice? And the answer is because. Since the Mishnah is going to have a Kodem Chazara and La'achar Chazara, the two may not always have the same din. Kodem Chazara, they were both Asura. La'achar Chazara, they might not have the same din. Now, the odd thing about the Mishnah, if I were writing the Mishnah, maybe it's a good thing I wasn't, but if I were writing the Mishnah, if I wanted to have Kodem Chazara and La'achar Chazara, I would have used the same cases. That's obviously prompted who to say what. Like an Abbott Costello routine. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't give the same cases in the Seif as it does in the Resha prompted who to say what? It prompted Rav Chisda to say that it's no Kodem Chazara, no Lachar Chazara. That was what prompted Rav Chisda. So, but the Yerushalmi appears to be Medayik, and I think this is not unreasonable on the part of the first Yerushalmi. I don't think they're forcing the Bavli into the Yerushalmi here. Lishan de Masnisa, Misayeh, the Rechia Baraba, not the Rabbi Yochanan, that it's dafka kevas nachri is different lamaskana than kevas nevela, and that's why the Mishnah mentions the two cases separately. As it doesn't just say kevas nevela, because otherwise kevas nachri should have been the same thing. Moshe,
are you then still stuck with the seif of the Mishnah in terms of the fact that
it's treifa rather than that's a, if once you say kodem chazara lacha chazara and you insist that the Mishnah is a reflection of it, you're stuck with that question. You are. There's an apparent stira in the Mishnah, and some say it's not apparent. Some say it's not a stira, and some say it is a stira.
We're trefos more of a concern.
I should say some say it's only apparent, and some say it's only a stira. Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking about the Mishnah's parents itself.
That's what Chista was doing.
Right.
Emmanuel.
You don't
want to
say Shmuel's answer in the
No, it's accepting the question that motivates Shmuel's answer, but it's not giving Shmuel's answer.
Right.
Exactly. It's not that it's Chada Katani.
Right.
Not Chada Katani. Out of the mouth of Shmuel, maybe yes. Now, out of the early Amoraim, I haven't studied Chada Katani. Out of the mouths of the early Amoraim, it's more likely to be a mendation of the Mishnah. Out of the mouths of the later Amoraim, it's more likely to be an interpretation of the Mishnah. What's that? Then there are considerations that motivate them, non-textual considerations that may motivate them to interpret a text a certain way. Okay. Fine. That's part of the scripturization of Torah Shebaal Peh. Fine. So now that you now there's another problem though, or perhaps not a problem. Did you notice what how the Yushalmi terms the three parts of the Mishnah? There is Kevas Nevela and Nochri. The Bavli that you just read said Rafi Kemishna Rishona. Kshema Sheyankim and Atrefa Kevas Asura Kemishna Acharona. Why? According and treifa sheyankim and akshera is muteres kemishna hacharona. So ask yourself the question: what is the hesber? What's the difference according to this presentation between Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Acharona? What's the difference?
If keva is part of the goof.
Correct. The Mishnah Rishona thought that keva was part of the animal in which it's found. The Mishnah Achrona says its status is determined by where it came from, not where it is. The Ramban has a really interesting expression in the Mochamos of the Shita that's machmer both ways. He says, "Nosan al chumrei hamakom sheyatzam misham, v'chumrei hamakom shehalach l'sham." Okay, Ramban was a master of using rabbinic terminology, you know, appropriating it for use in other contexts. So in this case, you know, the makom sheyatzam misham is where the milk came from. The makom shehalach l'sham is the stomach of the animal in which it's found. So according to the Yushalmi, and in terms of... All right, so that's what the Yushalmi says in front of us. Now, did anybody look at the Mefarshei Yushalmi? Just because I send you a Xerox, that is not meant to say that you should... If you can learn off the Xerox, in some ways call it kavod, but you'll miss some things, and most of the time you're not going to be able to do it off the Xerox. I just send that to you, A, for some reason you're pressed and you can't get a hard Yushalmi off the shelf, and B... because to have it in shir, because there aren't, you know, 30 or 40 Yushalmis to schlep into shir. Now, if you actually look, all the Mefarshim and the Yushalmi say that the correct Girsa is correct, and says that Trefa Sheyanka Kshera Sheyanka Min Atrefa Asura Kemishna HaRishona. Sound familiar? Where have you heard this before? V'hilchasa. No, the Mishnah Chul doesn't, the Gemara doesn't say one way that. It's V'hilchasa. The question is, Rafi, you said correctly, the way the Girsa reads in the Yushalmi, Ksher Sheyankim and Atrefas Asura, because it's not part of the animal in which it's found, and you go by the status, so that's true no matter what, but you go by the status of the animal from which it came.
The Mishnah doesn't say Ksher Sheyankim and Atrefas Asura.
No, it says, sure it does. How do you know whether that's... Is that Mishnah Rishon or Mishnah Acharona? No, the question is...
I figured that was why the Tamei switched it.
This is a...
To make the Reisha, the Mishnah, the first stage, and the Seifa...
Whoa, hold on. No. No, because the problem is, this is a case of where's the Asnachta. Right? In other words, Kevas Nachem v'Kevas... Kevas Nevela, Kevas Shonachre, Asura. Forget the Mamid or Kevas Nevela for the moment, okay? Now, Kshera Sheyankam and Atrefa Kevasa Asura, Trefa Sheyankam and Atrefa Kevasa Muteres, right? That's what the Mishnah has. So the question is, am I right? In the last case is Muteres.
Yeah, the Trefa Sheyankam and Atrefa is Muteres.
Correct, that's the last case. So the problem is, where is the Asnachta? Is the Asnachta after, you know, the Ora Keva or Kevas Nachar, Kevas Nemele Kevas Nemele Asura, or is the Asnachta
after the
Kshera Sheyankam and Atrefa? Now, if you read the Mishnah Kipshuto, Kipshuto, I would say that it's after what?
The way it is in the Yushalmi.
Printed in the Yushalmi, right? Not what the. However, so that is true. The only problem is this is the incorrect Nusach in the Yushalmi. in Beta, the Girsa and the Yerushalmi is not the way we have it printed here. I believe I didn't check the printed text. I only checked Leiden. And even here, and I don't know what their symbols mean, but they put it between, they put Ho'acharona here, and they put Acharona between two exclamation points, which means it's based upon a Misira, which in this case means an alternate tradition. I assume their alternate tradition here is the Sugya and Beitza. That's my guess. Although the question is, why be Magia that in light of this? This in light of that, why not be Magia that in light of this? I don't know what other evidence there is. There is a comment in the bigger Yushalmis, I don't have it in my little Yushalmi, about how in the Shinir Nishos, that in, I think they said in the Sride Yushalmi, Trefa Shayankim and a Trefa Kevasim Luteres Achrona, Kemishna Achrona, Bisride Yerushalmi, Sheva Shayankim and a Trefa Kevasa Asura, Kemishna Harishona. That's a completely different, Kemishna Harishona. Right. That's not what we have. However, in my Sride Yerushalmi, and I assume this is what his reference is. This is from, I believe Ginsberg was the one who just published them.
Are the Sride Yerushalmi older than the than Xavier Leiden? Or?
You mean the Geniza fragments? Probably.
That's what these.
I believe they're Geniza fragments, yeah.
Okay.
Here, what I have is Utrefa, Ksheva Shayankim and Utrefa. Oh, I'm sorry, I take that back. It is correct. It is Asura Kamishna Harishona. Fine. So I guess you between the Geniza fragments. Okay, now I can read straight. Between the Geniza fragments and the other sugya in the Yerushalmi, it appears that this is the wrong girsa. Now, this is tremendously, tremendously meaningful. We're not finished yet in the Yerushalmi. But it's incredibly important what the girsa is here. Why? It's a big nafgamina both in understanding what the Yerushalmi is saying and l'halacha l'maisa.
Can you just maybe repeat again what the correct
the nusach of the Mishnah and of the Yerushalmi is kishera sheyanka min atreifa kevasa asura. The question is that din kemishna harishona or kemishna haacharona? The Yerushalmi as we have in front of us says kemishna haacharona. The correct nusach is kemishna harishona. You get to think about this as you read the Rishonim on the Bavli. So we'll come back to that when you deal with the Rishonim on the Bavli, which is not today. So now, let's finish the Yerushalmi, and here's the part that you will not understand if you don't look in Beitza. Okay. I'm sorry, is there any questions?
Yeah.
Not what I want you to figure out, but beyond that, Rafi?
I was gonna ask
about that. So your job tomorrow is to figure out what it matters and what's the difference between the two readings, in fact, conceptually. Okay. Continue.
Bus.
That's very clear, right? Okay, so for your final bechina right now, you translate that line. Now, so you have to. So firstly, you need a little bakias to realize what's going on. You do get one word that says beta. And beta gidule gufa, and that should tell you, of course, what it's talking about. Of course, the Mishnah Nedios, which is beta sanavela sheyeshba kayotze banim keres pashuk muteres kedivrei beshama yvesel osrin. So we mentioned this Mishnah already yesterday. So that's what the Yerushalmi is talking about. If you were to turn your attention to Maseches Beitza, the sugya actually starts with the whole Beitza discussion. Surprising, on the first Mishnah in Beitza, what a shock. The Yerushalmi there explains the Machlokas Beishamai Beis Hillel, what they're arguing about, and then it asks the question, Uve Shammai, Kemishna Harishona, Uve Hillel, Kemishna, and the Nusach should probably be flipped here. Uve Hillel, Kemishna Harishona, Uve Shammai, Kemishna Achrona, was the question the Yerushalmi was asking. In other words, so this is the way the Mefarshei Yerushalmi explained it at least. It would turn out, what is the din of a Beit which is found inside an Avela? So Beis Hillel says it's usur, but the question is the Beitza really part of it? Is the Beitza really part of it? So, and Beis Shammai holds what? That the Beitza is not part of the dead chicken. So how does that line up with Rabbi Yochanan's Kodem Chazar Lacha Chazar Mishnah Rishona Mishnah Achrona? So Mishnah Rishona says the keva is part of the animal because it's found inside of it. That would be shitas Beis Hillel, and Mishnah Achrona would wind up being Beis Shammai. That's not a good thing, right? Because we generally like to believe that Mishnah Achrona is going to follow shitas Beis Hillel, and there's no evidence that Beis Hillel changed their mind. It's not listed in the first parak in Adios. It's not listed in the first parak in Adios in the cases where they were chozer. Right? I still want to say that kodem chazar lacha chazara, somebody had this errant girsa of chazur beis shama shila holdus kli beis shamai, and that's the kodem chazara kan lacha chazara. It wouldn't solve the historical problem, but at least it would solve the textual problem. Fine. If you didn't understand what I just said, it's okay. So now, what's the Yushalmi's teretz? Why is it not a problem? It's not a problem because beitza is part of the, it grows from the chicken. So that's why, even if Beis Hillel would be moded that the Chalav Kemishna Achrona is not part, it's not part of the animal that it's found in, but the Beitza is part of the animal it's found in, because the Beitza is Gidulei Gufa, but the Keva is Melkam Acherbas, it came from some other animal. And now the Yushalmi just says, Va'asya, and the next word is lovely, it doesn't mean like God. It's a contraction of Kihai. Va'asya, Kihai da Omar Rabbi Yosef bray Rabbi Abun b'shem Rabbi Yochanan Masa b'Benosha Rabbi Yehuda ben Shamua shebaku lahen zevim Yoser mishlosh meos tzon. You know what the word baku means? Split open. It's like v'hari Yosav yivu ka'u, right? When they split open the pregnant women, that practice mentioned Tanakh. Right. So what? No, here it means to split open a living being. And what happened? So you had all these animals that were, all these sheep that had been rendered treif, they might have been young sheep, and the Chachamim let them use the kevas, the stomach contents that were in these animals that were either treifos or nevelos, allowed them to use it for the purposes of hamada. Okay, or whatever else they want to use it for. So Amru, the Chachamim said, Beitza gidulei gufa, keva mimokom acher basalo. Okay, it obviously means somebody asked the Kasha, and they gave that teretz, or otherwise the Yushalmi has modified that language. There was no shaila there about Beitzim, it was only a discussion of the kevas. Okay, so bottom line in the Yushalmi, a very, very rapid review, 1 second. Bottom line is that the Yushalmi number one understands the reason for... the reason for the Yisr, at least, of Gvina space, whatever it is because the Agalim were Nishchat Lavo de Zara, and the perish of those would be Asur, but only something that is somehow fundamentally part of the animal, namely Pirsha, Gufa, Tabas is not Gufa. Very important issue that we might revisit, I'm not sure we will, but very important distinction. The other major issue the Yushalmi discusses is what Rabbi Yochanan said in terms of Mishnah Rishona, Kodem Chazara La'achar Chazara. And there were two Lishonos La'achar Chazara as to whether or not Kevas Nochri was Muteres, whether Stam Machshevas Avodes Kochavim is Lavodes Zara like Rabbi Eliezer or not. And finally, which is really the part that belongs in Beitza, is that there's a difference between Chalos Shebekeva and the Beitzim. It's kind of an obvious distinction, but maybe it's only obvious after the Yushalmi made it. Raf, you had a question?
Yeah. Could it be that story, the only matched it because it wasn't like a Hefsim Ruba, and the last line is an addition by the, Stam or whoever, the meaning
but
of interpretation?
You still have to have the basis. It means the Mandamar, the Yushalmi, that brings it.
Right. Understood it that way.
Understood the story that way. But I invoking Hefsid Merubah seems to be a sort of difficult, meaning nowhere is that concept discussed in the context of the sugya. So the fact is, there's a story that Chachamim were matir. The question is, why were they matir? The Yerushalmi's assumption is because Kevim Malkam Acher Basel. There's no question. That may be the reason why they asked, right? As opposed to the reason why they were matir as well. Okay, it's possible. Okay, good.